Hi, and welcome to this new Data Role podcast episode. Today, we're discussing esports and betting topics. I am joined by Trev Keane, founder and managing director of Epic Global. Hi, Trev.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for having me.
Great to having you today. And how about we start with a short intro? Trev, the floor is yours.
Sure. So I'm Trev. I'm the MD of Epic Global Agency. We're a full-service esports and gaming agency. I've worked in the esports industry for the last 10 years, and I've been leading up alongside my co-founder, Sinead Hosey, Epic, for the last 4 years.
Would you like to say more or less what is the key focus of the area that you're responsible for?
Yeah. So Epic Global, we work across three pillars. We work with traditional rights holders that want to go into the esports space. So we have a long-standing partnership with Norwich, for example, where we manage their 1J esports. We've relationship with Jesse Lingard, where we've launched him into the world of esports. We do work with Munster Rugby. We do work with the FAI, and that's the Football Association of Ireland. Previously, we've worked with Paris Saint-Germain, bringing them into a Rocket League partnership with a team. We've done work with Virgil van Dijk and to bring him. So all traditional athletes kind of bridging that gap, and same for traditional rights holders. We then work in a similar vein with brands, so bringing them into the world of esports. And that's endemic and non-endemic brands. So brands that operate within the esports and gaming space and brands that don't. And then our probably core would be working with esports teams on commercial as a service. So working with esports teams to sell their assets to the market in the same way that football clubs would sell their jersey assets to sponsors. We take esports teams and we sell their assets.
Mm-hmm. Before we dive into the details, I think it would be worth adding a few definitions to make sure that everyone from our audience will be on the same page. Myself, I used to play on esports like League of Legends, World of Warcraft. I'm wondering if these are, let's say, still as popular as they used to be, but how would you basically define esports, supposing that we also have within our audience people who are more from a legal perspective, compliance, etc., from both land-based and online industries, just to make sure that we're all on the same page?
Sure. Yep. So, I mean, esports is the competitive side of gaming. So when everybody talks about, you know, gaming is the big part of the iceberg. It is obviously an industry that's bigger than music and movies. It's a $100 billion industry. And esports is the top tier of that. So just like everybody, you know, is a fan or can play football, not everybody makes it into the Premier League or La Liga. It's that elite 1-2%. And esports is the same. So it's the competitive side of gaming. And that breaks down then into many different game titles. You know, you mentioned League of Legends, still one of the most popular type of games. CS2, Counter-Strike 2, and Dota 2, right down across to more family-friendly titles like EAFC and Rocket League. So very broad. We're in the middle right now of the esports World Cup being played out in Riyadh, and there's 19 competitive titles. Could be 20 plus, but there is 19 plus titles being with esports players competing in them for a $60 million prize pool. So these are the best of the best, and that's what esports is. It is the best of the best within gaming.
That's really impressive. So now I'm wondering, when we speak about esports betting companies, do they operate in a similar or slightly different fashion when it comes to the classic sportsbook? How do you see the similarities and the differences when it comes to these disciplines?
Yeah, esports and betting, I mean, it's an interesting and a challenging environment to operate in. So on one hand, you know, you have a competitive scene, which automatically lends itself to betting opportunities. Anything where you've got people going up against each other represents an opportunity. I suppose what we've kind of seen at the moment is betting companies that have entered a space, you know, by offering odds on their existing websites, you know, for plus 18 titles. So the likes of CS2, Counter-Strike 2, which is a 5v5 shooting game, or a Dota 2, which is a 5v5 strategy game. We've seen markets created for these for competitive tournaments around that. And in a traditional betting environment where, you know, there's a sports book domain, they offer football, horse racing and esports, you'd be confident enough to say that maybe that hasn't worked for traditional betting companies. Where it has worked really well is where a betting brand creates a standalone platform that's built around. So a good example is Rivalry out of Canada. They've created a platform that's, you know, truly built around the user experience and their passion and knowledge for esports. And that's where that has worked really well. So if you're in the betting space and you're curious around esports and you're offering odds on your traditional sports book, chances are it will not convert for you. But what we're seeing is companies that create, you know, native experiences for gaming and esports fans, that has a higher chance of success. The second part of this is of the why betting companies kind of go into esports is future-proofing your audience. You know, if you've got an 18 to 34 kind of audience, which you kind of do across Dota 2 and CS and League of Legends to a degree and Valorant, another title that's similar to CS that's created by Riot, you've got an older audience there. And what you have is you have a crossover that they have a passion for other passions outside of gaming. So passions for sport. They might have passions for casino products. They might be mobile gamers outside of their actual gaming experience. So where you have a betting company that is exploring esports, you've kind of got to look at it as kind of twofold. One, it's a way to future-proof your brand by getting involved in esports, either through a sponsorship perspective or at a team level or in an influencer said level. And then it's building a funnel of taking these gaming fans of those particular titles on a journey, whether that's into esports betting, whether that's into traditional sports betting, or whether that's into casino-led products.
Okay. And so now my next question would be, just to give you an example, one of the leading sportsbook in Poland, they also have their own esports section, but it's not necessarily specifically different than all the other sections. You've mentioned that this kind of strategy might not be the best recipe for success and that you need to go into more, dedicated means of reaching the audience. Do you think that there's other aspects that need to be taken into consideration? And do you think that it's definitely someone who's as a traditional sportsbook should definitely cross it out of the list?
So I don't think esports does well in a traditional sportsbook environment. So I definitely think that, you know, if that is the strategy, you're really just taking data feeds and feeding it in, and it's kind of a hoping for the best type scenario. There's not a clear strategy from betting company on what they want to do. And it's, you know, it's not going to succeed in that way. Where you're seeing the success is when a betting company or an esports betting company integrates into the ecosystem and creates these experiences. And we've seen that more, you know, Eastern Europe-led betting brands, but the likes of BetBoom in the US, we've seen Thunderpick, where they create these tournament experiences. They integrate into the ecosystem and they work with the community. You know, and there's wonderful opportunities. I mean, betting brands can create their own tournaments. They can create their own esports teams in title, you know, so it gives them a great opportunity to become a rights holder in their own regard within a system. And I think that's where big success kind of comes. You know, one expert being another, they've partnered, you know, with tournament providers, you know, as an overarching partner. So once you're integrating into that space, the community, they might not necessarily be a fan of gambling, but they'll appreciate the effort that's been made, you know, to create exciting content to integrate into the community and add value. And I think that's, whether it's a betting partner or whether it's any partner, if somebody's kind of coming into the space and they're adding value to a space, then they will get the, you know, the reward and the fandom that kind of comes with that.
That's right. I'm also wondering about one other aspect. So when we think about the traditional sports book, this is something which is kind of widely incorporated into the overall popular culture, yeah? Because you'll have banners on the streets, you'll have signs, everybody's wearing the jerseys, etc. Meanwhile, at least from the broader audience perspective, esports looks a little bit more niche. And how does that impact the strategy and the approach to actually stand out and to correctly target and address the needs and the expectations of the current generation, especially when it comes to the younger players? Because at least from an assumption that I would make, and I would gladly confront it with you, you'll maybe confirm or reject it. I would say that this is much more popular in the younger generations.
So yeah, it's a good question. I mean, you know, look, esports fandom, particularly in more mature titles, is, you know, you're hitting that 18 to 34, 36, maybe 40 audience. So it's a younger audience compared to a traditional sports audience, which is 40 plus on that. This audience, they digest their content in different ways. So if you're like, if you're a football fan or a Liverpool or a Man United or Real Madrid, if you want to watch your football, you need to have a subscription to some sports channel. So you're paying for that privilege. And that's what funds the majority of the sports scene, is that rights holding. Within the esports space, obviously that content is digested, you know, on the likes of YouTube, the likes of Twitch. It's spoken about then on X. It's spoken about on Discord, and do get some elements of engagement within TikTok. So very different channels, you know, all free ad-based opportunities. So you have to be kind of innovative in how you approach it. And that's where the sponsorship piece, you know, steps in as the broadcasting piece in the large element of funding teams and the community. But I suppose to build on that, and like where people are getting, you know, getting caught up in esports. So obviously esports is the competitive piece. Okay. You've got players, and then underneath that, you've got content creators, you've got casters and streamers. And then underneath that, you've got the fans. Okay, so you have three layers. You're using the teams and the players to integrate with the other groups of communities. And that community can be quite a large funnel. You know, we know the numbers, nearly half the planet, you know, game. Not all of them are going to be of age for betting. Not all of them are going to be into betting. And not all of them are going to watch the titles that are there. But it does give you a global audience of a couple of hundred million across different titles that is a relatable to your product and to the industry. And that's the funnel effect that you've kind of got to work on when you're in a betting company trying to target this audience.
Right. You have mentioned the word innovation. And my next question would be, what are the latest trends that you're seeing in esports betting?
Not so much trends. I mean, there's plenty of opportunity. I mean, what you're seeing is you're seeing betting companies that are creating their own IPs, their own events. It's nothing new within the space. You know, the Pinnacle Cup was around for a couple of years, but we're seeing new emerging bookmakers, esports betting companies kind of fall in line and create their own tournaments they can own and be part of. Likewise, we're seeing, you know, betting companies own more teams. We're seeing a lot more work with gaming influencers, and each one is perceived in a different way by the community. And it depends on how native they are to the space. It depends on how they've approached it. Depends if they have any legacy histories. But communities, on the whole, they're open to seeing these, you know, these partners coming in once they're adding value. And it comes back to anything, once they're adding value. In terms of kind of tech innovations around esports, there's obviously a lot more data points that are becoming available within games as data providers get more innovative in their data capture, which means that there's more potential markets, there's more potential types of individual odds, you know, and we're seeing probably a lot more products like fantasy-led products, particularly around CS2 and Dota 2 coming out. And again, perception by the community is generally by how good these products are from a user experience and the value add they add to the community.
All right. And on the other hand, when it comes to challenges and limitations that are specific to the market, what do you see as the biggest challenges and limitations when it comes to the esports betting?
Yeah, I mean, it's tricky because I suppose you're at a global level, really, and a lot of these partners are targeting certain regions, and then you've got the independent regulation that exists in those regions. So you've got that challenge of, you're operating up at the top, you're trying to reach an audience down in the bottom left, and there is certain ways that you have to engage with that audience from a regulatory point of view. So it's how you can overcome that. There's regulation around how influencers can promote, so you've got to kind of lean in on that. So I suppose, you know, from us as an agency, we need to understand the regulation across different regions and how that impacts both partners and sponsors. And that applies to influencers as well, or gaming influencers and creators. So understanding the impacts of not doing a campaign right, understanding the impacts of not communicating effectively what your product offering is or what you're doing if you're doing an influencer campaign. So I think what we're probably seeing the biggest challenge is individual regulation across countries rather than specific regions, which are, you know, causing challenges for betting companies, certainly in how they engage with on the influencer level.
That might be also one of the differences versus traditional sportsbook, where you're quite often targeting, for example, specific league or championship that operates within one country, whereas for you, it's always cross-regional or global, right?
Yeah, it is. But I mean, and again, that's interesting if you kind of break it down and think of it, you know, that if you have a Spanish club that has a betting partner on the front of it, for example, but your own country is quite strict on betting within the league. So we'll take Italy, for example, where this can be quite restrictive and the teams don't have a front of shirt. But a terrestrial channel or a sports channel within that country buys the rights for La Liga or Premier League. And suddenly you've got that betting brand being shown on the domestic TV channels when the own domestic league can't have. So traditional sport has some of the same challenges. They get around it in different ways. You know, I think like everything else, people find they find that a gray area, I imagine. I don't know, but it is a challenge in esports. It is a challenge in traditional sports. Regulation doesn't move at the same speed as innovation. So that's you're always kind of chasing your tail in that regard if you're a regulator, which can make it hard. But yeah, I suppose it's up to the betting company and you know their partners to understand those challenges and find ways that they can work within the parameters that exist.
Uh-huh. And now moving to the data part. So based on your experience, how do you see the role of data analytics within your industry? How the data can be used to make business decisions and improve processes?
Yeah, data is hugely important. So, I mean, if you even break it down into kind of silos, you know, from a betting perspective, you need to have good, quick data from games. You need to be pulling in strong APIs from betting partners, whether that's Anodin or Baze Esports, you know, good providers. So it's important that you've got the right data partner. For us, for influencer campaigns, we need to understand the data behind the players, their engagement, their audience breakdown, you know, how valuable their audience is to a betting company. And then it's all data points then after that you know, become really important. So there's different touch points, but at each touch point, data is hugely, hugely important to informing the decision, you know, on it. Even with an esports team, you know, if they're looking for a sponsor for a CS2 team, those betting partners will have certain KPIs, certain demographics that they want to hit. And the esports team has to be able to use data to kind of tell the story of, well, this is the audience, this is the return on investment you'll get, this is how you convert. So data tells the story both from the sponsorship side of it and on the sponsoree side of it.
So basically you mentioned like audience, engagement, investment value, return, etc. Would you name any other important KPIs from your perspective?
I think, look, if I just go into the silo of sponsorship and investment, I think it's the return on investment, what data points lead into that. So, I mean, if you're a betting company and you are focused on brand awareness, then media value and visibility is probably the key metric on that. So the data there is how many minutes your brand where was online, the quality of the audience, and what that return on investment was. Where if you're a betting company that's more focused on performance marketing, for example, the data is very different. It's not so much about the media value delivered. It's about the conversion rate of your audience into opened accounts and what that looks like. So the data points are very different. You know, it's looking at things like click-through rates, for example, on campaigns. It's looking at conversion rates. It's looking at account opening. It's looking at deposits. So the data comes back to what the objective of the sponsorship campaign is, really. And then the data tells the story again.
Perfect, perfect. All right. Thanks a lot. So this was my last question for today. That's going to be it. In today's episode, to sum it up, we covered the ins and outs of betting in esports. Thanks a lot, Trev, for this interesting discussion.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
It's great to having you with us. And guys, that's all for today. This is Stan signing off for now. And remember, keep rolling with the data.